I'm sure you're all warmed up. You're ready to go. I put my name up on the board in case you might want to write me or call me or whatever. Tallahassee is a three-hour ride east of here. So I got up this morning and took a three-hour ride. And it's good to be here. There's nothing that I'd rather be doing than what we're going to do at this time. I'll spend most of this class just talking to you, probably more than anything, helping you to understand me and how I'm thinking and where I'm coming from. And if there's anything that I could do to probably make this class better, it would be to get you to relax. However I can get you to relax, please be relaxed. Yes. I'd just like you to just try to relax and listen. Listening is a difficult thing to do. There's not many people can listen. Most people, conversion begins with great suffering, but it can begin with listening. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about. It is difficult to listen because we listen with our minds already made up. And when somebody steps into an area that's different than the way we think, usually we just shut it down. Go funk. It's probably most of us don't know how to do anything other than that. But just try to sit and listen. I don't ask you to accept anything that I tell you by faith. Just listen to it and see if it may be something that could be useful in your life. A couple of little mind warmers. I think that the virtue of humility is a very natural virtue for anyone that ever thinks. It would be natural to be humble if we'd think a little bit. Y'all know there's 5.5 billion people on this earth. Do you know that the sun is 1 million times larger than the earth? The sun is 1 million times larger than this earth. Do you know that there is a star in our galaxy that if it were hollow, you could put the sun and the earth in it, and the earth could orbit the sun inside that star. There's one star in our galaxy that is that large, that if it were hollow, you could take the sun and the earth is 193 million miles from the sun, and the earth could orbit the sun inside this star. Do you know that there is 100 billion suns in our galaxy? You and I see one of them. Y'all hear? I didn't say 100 million. I didn't say 100,000. I said 100 billion. You see what I mean by it really should be natural, the virtue of humility. And you and I believe that the God that made that star, that the sun and the earth could be inside and the earth orbiting the sun, we believe that the God that made that knows me. Isn't that an awesome thought? It's an awesome thought. Do you know that we know today there are millions of galaxies just like ours? That's an awesome thought. Do you know there's stars out there that we're still receiving the light from them and they've disappeared? They're not there. And do you know how fast light travels? See, you understand? But you know what? There are people. And most of us are guilty of this some way, that we'll live our whole lives as though we got about 97 or 98% of this whole thing figured out. Y'all know that? And if we could just get the other 2 or 3% figured out, we'd have it all. And I want to tell you, folks, you and I know very little. Very, very little. You and I also believe that God wants to communicate to us. Isn't that an interesting thought? That God seeks to reveal Himself to me and you. Isn't that good? I mean, remember, folks, God made all this. And you and I have the audacity to believe that this Creator would like to reveal Himself to us. Isn't that wonderful? And He does it in a lot of ways. God reveals Himself through nature, through relationships, through all kinds of signs. You know, most people never see Him, though. That's mankind's problem. The problem of blindness. There's a story about a fish in the ocean, and he's swimming around. He's in a panic, and he swims up to this one little fish, and the little fish says, "What are you in such a panic for?" He says, "I'm looking for the ocean." You been looking for God? Maybe we need to ask Him to heal our eyes. You and I, as most of us are Catholics, you and I as Catholic Christians, believe that God communicates to us in a very special way. They're called sacraments. He communicates His grace through the sacraments. One of the problems we have is we would love God to communicate the way we communicate, with words. And He don't communicate with words. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. Quit turning Him back into words, in fleshing. See, you and I believe that God communicates to us in the church in a very special way through the sacraments. And the and that vehicle, that is grace. How about that? I was riding over here this morning, and the person I was riding with said, "David, look, turn around and look behind us at the sun. It was just coming up." And you know how the sun can look as it just comes over the horizon? It was a red ball of fire. And I said, "Isn't that beautiful?" God communicates to us through beauty. You know, the world doesn't need that. And it's not a word. You can't even explain it. Somebody explain to me beauty. Tom, would you explain to me how a rose smells? Now, all I'm trying to get you to do is to understand that God communicates different than we communicate. Matter of fact, I devote a whole session to how horrible it is to communicate with words. It's the worst means of communicating on the earth, words. And I'm going to spend a whole week flabbing at you. It's the worst means of communicating, words. But God seeks to reveal Himself to us. You and I believe that. There was none of you would be here if you didn't believe that. And isn't it amazing we could spend our whole life looking for Him with the wrong eye? We'd be looking for something that was never really there. Okay? I just want you to think about those things. One of the things I'd like you to think about as I speak to you is that I am not speaking to you about something that you've got to do or else. If you listen that way, you're going to miss what I'm talking about. God will never communicate to you. And that's a problem that we get into. Most of us are raised thinking, if I do this now, I'll get something else later. Bad communication. Has any of you ever got into later? Do you know anyone that has ever entered later? It's an impossibility. Any of you ever got into the past? You just can't get in it. Isn't that interesting? So the only time that God could communicate to you is now, and whatever is here now. Marianne, if I was a politician and I came to you and said to ask you if you'd vote for me if I gave you $100, what's that called? That's called bribery, isn't it? Is that a virtue? Bribery is not a virtue. Well, what if you were good now to get heaven later? What's that? Oh, my. Do you think God is into bribery? See, I want to try to get you to think a little different. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow is what you're reaping. You know what the church teaches us? The closest you come to living in the now, the closer you are to living in eternity. And you know most of us live our lives down the road. I'll bet you most everybody sitting in this room right now, or at least before the class over, will get to thinking about, wonder what the kids are doing. Wonder where my husband is. Wonder if he really went fishing. Wonder if my wife is shopping. Oh, God. I left her with a bank. You understand what I'm talking about? You'll be sitting here, and you'll look like you're just totally attentive. And your mind's in yesterday. Oh, God, I wonder if I'm going to get caught for that. I wish I'd have looked at that envelope. It was a brown envelope, and I think it said Internal Revenue Service up on the corner. Jesus. And I was chickened to look at it, afraid it'd mess up my whole week. And it's messed up your whole week. You're sitting here thinking about it. It's got you. You're here, and your mind's there. You understand? You know the revelation of God never comes in that? You all understand that, though, don't you? How many of you have ever knelt before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration and your mind down the road? Matter of fact, you'd even work keeping it there. I'm not going to think about that anymore. And the more you said, I'm not going to think about that, the more you thought about that. Y'all understand? Okay, just something to think about. So remember, I'm not speaking of something that you've got to do. I'm speaking of something that if you would do it, things will be better for you. When? Now. There you go. This whole concept that you can do something now and get something different later is all wrong. What you're doing is what you got. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine your reward could be now? Everything that there is now. Isn't that an awesome thought? Not too long ago, in October, matter of fact, Mother Teresa spoke at a prayer breakfast at Congress. And she said something interesting about peace. She said the peace that the world gives is a peace that says, I'm at peace when no one bothers me. See, when you can develop a lifestyle where no one bothers you, that's what the world calls peace. She said, the peace of Jesus comes when you're good to everybody. When does it come, folks? Later? It comes now. That's one of the ways that God communicates to us. You know, I work a lot with poor people and drug addicts, people that really suffer in our society. I very seldom ever meet anybody that knows why. Just an awesome thing. The only way a person would ever know why is to do it. They'd never understand watching. And I'll have people say, "How do you go down there every day, David? Don't you get tired of that?" I love it. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something? Why do we need saving? Now, listen, I don't want you answering me. If you answer me, you'll get embarrassed. You know, you never got this guy's answer. Y'all know what I mean? So don't answer. But you ask yourself the question and answer it to yourself. Why do we need saving? Saving from what? I'll give you the teacher's answer. We need to be saved because in this universe there is evil and death. If you lived forever a blessed life, would you need God to save you from anything? From nothing. The only reason there's a need of a Savior is because you and I experience evil, we suffer, and we die. Anybody in here never suffer? Everybody suffers. Anybody in here know someone that didn't die? Not a soul. There's been 70 billion people on this earth and they're gone. You understand? We need a Savior because of evil and death. No evil and no death, no need of a Savior. So Jesus came as the solution to a problem. He didn't come to give a bunch of answers. And I'll tell you what, we in the church are in a problem right there because we want answers. We want answers to questions. And see, an answer to a question is just something you receive, isn't it? A solution to a problem has to be lived. That's the difference in getting answers. And most of us just want answers. Oh, we love to sit around in groups and ask questions. Somebody gives us an answer. And that's the end of it. But Jesus came and revealed the solution to the problem of evil and death. Isn't that good? That's what we're going to work on this week. What is it? And it's simple. You know something else I've discovered about God? Most of us think he's real complicated. I think he's probably the simplest thing in the universe. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing if we found out? We think God's real complicated. One day we find out he's the simplest thing. It's you and I that are complex. Okay. Y'all are doing good. Please don't answer. Is God good? Now, I know your answer, but here's what I ask. Is it your answer, or is it your mother's answer? Is it your daddy's answer? Is it the answer the church gave you, or is it your answer? Because, folks, if your faith is faith that has been given to you and it's never been tested by questions, it's not your faith. Is God good? I'll give you a little test to determine whether you believe God's good. Now, I know what everybody in here says in their mind, don't you? Yes, God's good. But I'm going to ask again, is it your answer? Or is it an answer that is given to you by somebody? Does your life live a life that says God is good? See, there's a problem we have, isn't it? Have y'all ever noticed that we can say we believe things that our life will prove we don't believe? Y'all ever notice that? Which would more accurately prove what you believe? What you say you believe or the way you live? Everybody knows the answer, don't they? The way you live more accurately proves what you believe. Is God good? I'm going to give you a test where you can kind of see. Carol, if you walked out to your car, let's say you've got a car out here, and you walk out, and on the front seat, you find a paper bag, and you open it up, and there's $100,000 in it, and a note that says, Carol, this is because you're a good girl. I've given you $100,000, signed God. Is this maybe the kind of reaction you'd have? You know, we're all breaking for it. You'd come running down that hall out there with a paper bag screaming, glory to God! Is God good? Oh, my God! Look how good God is! Look, look, look! Something like that. I mean, you wouldn't be out there hiding in the car saying, wonder where it came from. God's good, isn't he? What if you walked out and somebody stole your car? Is God good now? Now, isn't that interesting? When things go the way we want, God's good. And when they go different than I want, he becomes Satan. You know the best thing that may ever happen to you, Carol, is to have your car stolen. Oh, please. See, Artie, me and you think we're God. I just bought it. It's a brand new one? Oh, no. Now, I'm going to ask the question again. Is God good? See, is God good? If God takes care of my family, he's good. And if God sends me healthy kids into the world, he's good. And if God does this, he's good. But if God sends me an invalid into the world, if God does... Why me? What the hell's going on? What have I done? You understand? Does your life say God is good all the time? Sweetheart, Katie, you're one that can get honest. See, some of us won't get honest about that, but we should get honest about it. I'll tell you, everybody in here will have some area of your life that says God is evil. So this is the kind of prayer that should begin to arise in us. Oh God, I do believe you're good. But the times that I don't believe it, would you help mine unbelief? I don't know anybody that would live a life without having doubts. Except a hard-headed liar. Let me say something to you about doubt. Doubt is the essence of faith. It's not the opposite. It's the essence. Doubt is the essence of faith. It is not the opposite. Now, I'll talk to you one day about faith. And the problem with our faith is having bad faith. Everybody has faith. Everybody believes something. Now, if you knew it all, you wouldn't have to believe something. Y'all think y'all be able to take us talking like that? So ask yourself, you know, when your car is stolen, do I believe God's good? Because, folks, who's in control? That's what the word God is all about. That's just a word. When we say God, we think that's the one that controls it all. Some of you are, y'all just take it easy now. Everything's all right. Oh, Carol, ain't nobody got your car. You know what? I'm going to honestly tell you that some of the things that in my life, there is nothing in my past I would change. nothing. And I remember when I couldn't have dare said that. All things work together for the good, for those that believe God is good. Now, I perverted that a little bit, I understand. All things work together for the good for those that are called according to His purpose. In other words, those that look at God as being good. All things work for the good. Matter of fact, you show me somebody that suffers a lot, and I'll show you somebody that understands a lot. And you and I work hard to keep from suffering. And God communicates through suffering. Jesus learned obedience through... See, so how much do we want God to communicate to us? Oh, isn't that awesome? And we're sitting here, you know, we're the big capitalists, you know, that have developed a place where nobody bothers us. And we're losing it, aren't we? Going to hell in a handbasket, and we all know it. The violence is right here in the midst of us. I mean, our kids kill us. Our next door neighbor kills us. And that's all because we don't want to suffer. We'll develop a system where we don't suffer. We can be the biggest and the meanest, and nobody will suffer. Isn't it crazy? Is good greater than evil? Now, I know what all of you are going to answer. Yeah, good's greater than evil. Well, let's see if you really believe good's greater than evil. When one of your children do something evil, do you do good to them, or you do another evil? If you really believe that good was greater than evil, any person of goodwill would do that thing which would correct the situation, wouldn't it? That would do the greatest thing that could be done there, wouldn't they? Isn't it something? And we're sitting around saying, what's the matter? What's going wrong? This is the message of Jesus. You overcome evil with good. You'll never overcome evil with evil. And so our children say, I'll be home at 11. And they come home at 12:30, and we take the car from them. And I know what some of you are saying, what's that dumb ass talking about? What am I supposed to do? I'll tell you one thing you're not supposed to do, and that's be passive. Do good to them. Well, that's crazy. I know. Jesus is crazy. It's crazy to go to a cross to save the world, too, isn't it? What's wrong in our families? Is good greater than evil? Well, then the next time somebody does something evil, you do good. Jesus did. Evil is a catalyst to produce good. If there's a Christian around. Folks, when his feet was nailed to the cross and his hands and he could not move, he prayed for me and you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I wonder if I'd just nail your hands and your feet to a cross if you'd be praying for me. You'd be calling me the devil. Understand? You know Jesus always did that? How many of you remember when it's announced to Jesus that John the Baptist has been killed? This is his best friend, folks. He's been killed. This is a person that leaps in his mother's womb when she hears that Mary's carrying Jesus. And it says Jesus is moved with great emotion, and he goes into the desert. Herod's killed his best friend, and a great crowd follows him, and he feeds the hungry, and heals the sick. What a heck of a response to somebody killing your best friend. Do you really believe that good is greater than evil? What if God got it? What if when me and you were evil, God did a greater evil to us? Where would we be?